Okay, the Gemara says, "Ma'at kante lemeishe tuva b'maya de silka." What was this rendered to me? Let him wash a lot in beet water, where beets have been boiled. Lo shachok me'erev Shabbos. If one didn't grind the cumin from erev Shabbos, he chews it with his teeth and puts it on the place of his bris milah. So the Chum said there are things that a person can't do on in preparation for a bris milah on Shabbos, but could be done for it on Yontif. He goes to the different options of that. Okay, Amar Abai Abai says that Amrli A, my mother told me in the case of a baby, of Hayinuka Delo Yoda Mafkete, who doesn't know whose exit, its rectum, it's unknown, it's obscured by skin, you rub it in oil and stand it before the light of the day. Gemara goes through different remedies that they used to use back then. Gemara here, Detanya Pamacha, Rabbi Amar Rabinasim Pamachas Halachti, one time I went to Kirkei Hayam. The coastal cities. Ubata Isha Achas Lefana came home for me. Shemala ben Arvishan Vemes, Sheni Vemes, Shlishi, Hey Vitani Lefana, Reisi Shuadam. I saw that he was reddish. Amarti Lahim, Teni Loachi, Abalas Damo, come to me. I said to her, wait until his blood is absorbed into him. Himtina lo ad sheniv lo baldamo, umalo so v'chayish. His blood was absorbed into him and then circumcised him and he lived. Vayakorna so nasan abavli yashmi. They would call him Natan Habavli after my name. I went to Kapotkia and a woman came before me, circumcised her first son and he died, and then she circumcised her second son and he died. She was feared circumcising the third because he might die, so she brought him before me. I saw that he was pale. I looked at him and I couldn't see him in the blood of the bris, right? He had a blood deficiency. I said to her, wait until blood enters him, and she waited and circumcised him and he was alive. And they would call his name Natan Habavli after my name as well. He's sort of an expert here. Next Mishnah, Machitzin es hakotan. You wash the baby on Shabbos. Lifnei Mila Akal Mila. Back in the times of the Gemara, washing a baby in hot water before and after the bris milah, and on the third day was life-threatening. Nowadays, it's no longer followed. Therefore, if one wants to wash the child on Shabbos, the usual restrictions that apply to washing any other person apply to the child as well. And the Rama says that in our country, the custom was to wash him before the bris milah in hot water, prepared the day before. But after the bris milah, the custom is to wait and wash him after Shabbos has ended. Now, if the third day after his bris milah occurs on Shabbos, and it's necessary to wash him, hot water is prepared the day before, and the child is washed on Shabbos. And the Rama adds that in a case where there's potential danger, if he isn't washed, he's permitted to heat water for him on Shabbos. Suffolk androgynous, a machandla of the Shabbos, read a matir by androgynous. He allows by a androgynous. Cases of a bris milah of a suffolk androgynous, tana rabbanan or loso vaday do for the Shabbos. Maybe definite foreskin overrides the Shabbos, not suffolk if there's anything underneath. Just some ha'aras to make here. Chil Shabbos for the sake of pikuach nefesh. The Mishnah Kuf Lama Gimel says that if the post-operative medications which are administered after the milah were not done before Shabbos, then you could prepare them on Shabbos with a shinai. Chew them and not ground them up in the normal way. What's the halacha when there's no way to do the malacha with a shinai, and the milah on Shabbos necessitates that a malacha be done for the sake of the baby? For example, hot water for washing the baby after the milah wasn't prepared before Shabbos. Can the milah be done on Shabbos, putting the baby in a state of danger, so a malacha has to be done for him? Or should the milah be delayed until the next day in order to avoid chil Shabbos? So the Baal HaMor says that in such a case, the milah should not be performed on Shabbos. It's better to delay the milah than to enter a situation which will result in a malacha d'araisa being done on Shabbos, even though it would be pikuach nefesh. The Ramban says that if one is permitted to perform a milah on Shabbos, even though it will necessitate chil Shabbos, for the sake of pikuach nefesh, because at this moment there's no need for a malacha to be performed, right? And there's an obligation to do the mitzvah. We do not have to be concerned prior to the milah that will necessitate this great Shabbos after the milah for the sake of any pikuach nefesh. Now, although you're permitted to roast steak on hot coals on Yontif, you're not permitted to sweeten mustard on hot coals. And the Gemara says the reason is because the mustard could have been sweetened before Shabbos, that losing any taste when Yontif arrives. In contrast, meat does not taste as good when it's roasted a day earlier, and therefore it could be roasted on Yontif. Now, why is it usher to sweeten the mustard on Yontif just because it could have been done before Yontif? Gemara in Beitza 28b says that the malacha for the sake of food preparation could be done on Yontif, even if it could have been done before Yontif. So the Ramban and other Rishonim explained that the prohibition against sweetening mustard and hot coals is only a chumra min derabon. Min deraisa, you could prepare food on Yontif, even though it could have been prepared before Yontif. And the Rabbanon enacted that one, avoid doing malach on Yontif whenever possible, and thus food that can be prepared for Yontif may not be prepared on Yontif. Rashi and Beitza implies that doing malach on Yontif for the sake of food preparation is mutter only when it could not have been done before Yontif. A woman came to Rav Nosson with the third son and asked him what to do. Her first two sons had died as a result of the milah, Rabbi Nassan looked at the baby and saw that he was very tired, and he told the woman, wait until his blood absorbs his body absorbs his blood, and she waited, and the son survived the Mila. And they called the child Nassan Abavli in honor of Rabbi Nassan. On another occasion, a woman in the same situation came to Rabbi Nassan with a third son. He looked at the baby and saw that he was very pale. He examined the baby further and didn't find any dam bris. He directed the woman to wait until the baby develops more blood, and she followed his advice, and the baby lived after his Mila. And the Gemara says they called his name Nassan Abavli. So the Gemara, why does the Gemara in the second case say they called his name Nassan Abavli, and in the first case it says they called him Nassan Abavli? So the Sefer Nachlas Yaakov points out that according to Rashi, in the second case, there were two problems. First, the baby boy was in mortal danger if a Mila was performed while he was pale. Second, even if the Mila was formed, no blood would ooze from the cut. And since Dam Bris is necessary for the proper kiyum of the mitzvah of Mila, the lack of Dam Bris would render the mitzvah of Mila invalid. And Rashi therefore derived from the fact that in the second case, Rabbi Nassan added that he didn't see any Dam Bris. In the first case, though, the only problem was the mortal danger that the baby faced. Therefore, in the first case, the people were relieved and expressed their gratitude to Rabbi Nassan only days or weeks after the Mila was performed, when it became evident that the baby would live. And at the time of the Mila, though, it wasn't clear yet he would survive. So they gave the baby his own name to have the Mila in Kriya Shem, and only later, when they saw that he would survive, they began to call him by Nassan Habavli in appreciation. In the second case, the people were grateful to Rabbi Nassan the very moment that Dam Bris flowed from the Mila, which apparently didn't occur when the child's older brothers were circumcised. Therefore, they call his name by the child, name the child by the name of Nassan Abavli, when he was named during the Mila at the Kriya Shem, in appreciation of his advice. The Gemara says that the Tanakam, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, argue whether you're permitted to wash a baby on Shabbos when the day is the third day after the Mila. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah has a pasuk to quote to support his opinion that one may wash the baby on Shabbos without a shinoi. When the Rishoyim of Shechem were in pain from their Mila, Shimon and Levi attacked the city and killed all the males. And from there we see that a person is in pain on the third day after the Mila, and therefore his needs may be filled without a shinoi. The Tanakama argues and holds that the child may be washed only on the first 2 days after he's no longer in so much danger, and is not necessary to do a malacha in order to wash him. And it seems clear from the Gemara that one who's undergone a Mila is in more pain during his first 2 days. Well, on the third day, it's questionable whether the malacha could be done in order to wash him. So why then did the sons of Yaakov Vinu wait until the third day to attack the people of Shechem? They should have attacked right away on the first or second day after the Mila, when the people would certainly be ill and weak from their Mila. So the Rishonim explain that according to Rashi's understanding of the sugya, the following distinction could be made. With regard to a person's physical health, he's in greater danger on the first 2 days after the Mila than on the third day. But with regard to a person's strength, he's weaker on the third day than on the first 2 days, because he already suffered from his wound for 2 days. So the sons of Yaakov Avinu, who wanted to attack the men of Shechem when they were at their weakest state after the Mila, waited until the third day to attack them. And during the first 2 days, even though the men of Shechem were in more physical pain, they were stronger and were able to flee. The Gemara here refers to one state of health, which is certainly worse in the first 2 days after the Mila than it is on the third. Interesting chiluk in terms of learning the sugya.